Amen. Go ahead, Diane.
Good evening, everyone. I will be reading to you today from Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 9. And it reads as follows. Guard your steps as you go into the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know they are doing evil. Do not be hasty in words or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few, for the dream comes through much effort and the voice of a fool through many words. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Do not let your speech cause you to sin, and do not say in the presence of the messenger of God that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry on account of your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For in many dreams and in many words there is emptiness. Rather fear God. If you see oppression of the poor and denial of justice and righteousness in the province, do not be shocked at the sight. For one official watches over another official, and there are higher officials over them. After all, a king who cultivates the field is an advantage to the land. May the Lord have the blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. As I pass the call to Dee Dee, have a blessed evening, everyone.
Thank you, sweetie, and I pray that you feel well, better, and have a good night's sleep. I love you. I'll check on you tomorrow. Well, good evening, my Friday Night Live victors. I thank you for joining us on this evening. And just another quick reminder to mute your line if you can. Wait a minute, a second. It's Friday, 29th of July. Whew, what a day, what a day. I was just sharing with you guys my little episode, but I was going to complain about some other stuff and situations that I had just since we got off the morning call. As excellent as it was, I know Overseer Martin blessed my entire wig off my head. I don't even have a wig on, but it was just amazing. So I'm going to share what I have. Thank you. That scripture was perfect because I want to talk about our mouth again. And I've probably talked about this before, but some things need to be repeated. And I know I always need a reminder to watch what I say, watch what I let come out this little hole in the middle of my face. So once words are spoken, I can't unspeak them. I have got to deal way better, y'all. So much more to words than we really, really know. Once words come out of my mouth, I can't gather them back in. It's like once you squeeze too much toothpaste out, you can't get it back in the tube. But have y'all tried to do that? Never mind. Now, certainly, I can quickly say I'm sorry. I can ask for forgiveness. I can attempt to make the wrong right. But I can't unspeak my words. Word curses can attach themselves to you. Be careful thinking that words aren't harmful. You can't unspeak harmful things, nor can the ear unhear them. The most damage to a relationship comes from one of the smallest parts of your body. Again, I know I've shared something very similar, but I'm just really led to share this again. The tongue is one of the most underestimated parts of the body. There is very little that is done by an individual to take care of it. Most know the tongue to be a muscular part of the mouth that has sensory organs and glands that allow one to taste food as well as give us the ability to speak. Without the tongue, it is fair to say that there would be no use for the mouth. However, the tongue is said to be the most dangerous weapon, and it is yet the hardest one to take and keep control of. Imagine that. As men and women of God, you have to work diligently to tame your tongue. I'm going to say it again. It is the smallest part of the body that gets people in the most trouble. Man, remember how they used to say they're going to wash your mouth out with soap or get sent to the office? And okay, Y'all, let me get back to this because I was having a childhood flashback because that was me. Likewise, the tongue is, excuse me. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's Proverbs 18 and 21. Although it is very small, it carries the most power. The tongue has the ability to hurt, to encourage, to defile, to birth out, to praise, to curse, or even at times kill someone or something. Oftentimes, the tongue is used by an individual to do more harm than good. Wow. Even though this doesn't have to be that way, the Lord is the holder of the highest and most ultimate power. God is the creator of all things, animate and inanimate. He knows the troubles that his people face on a daily basis. So all the stuff we're going through right now, he knows all about all that stuff. Whatever is needed of him, all we have to do is ask. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's 1 John 3:22. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Lies, man, lies you tell. Lie about stuff that ain't even important. Only the Lord knows the number of days that one has on the face of the earth. Telling a lie is not the only way that the tongue defiles, but speaking evil and wishing harm on another curses just as much. It is the Lord's will for one to have life and have it more abundantly. Tame your tongue so that you may have many good days seems to be highly imperative. So speak life, speak no evil, and tell no lies. Your tongue has the ability to defile the entire body. It has more power than you as an individual realize. Cussing them four-letter words or cursing, there's a difference. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. Welcome to Friday Night Live. We're in the middle of the declaration, which is defile the whole body and set on fire the course of nature. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. This quote has been around for many, many years, and as the years progress, it seems to have very little to no impact. The words you use can make or break a person because your tongue. Your tongue holds life as well as death. In an argument, your tongue is the first muscle to react. Sometimes it reacts without you listening or being aware of what has actually been said. Before you realize it, you are placed in a position to apologize to whomever for whatever because you responded without listening. In most cases, that in itself is very embarrassing. Your tongue is the pen of a ready writer. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. There is no individual that is perfect. The Lord knows that all people are sinners and have fallen short of his glory. That's Romans 3:23. Mistakes are acts of misjudgments and misunderstandings. Because people are not perfect, it is only natural for one to misuse or misunderstand the purpose of their tongue. If there is anyone that has never misused their tongue, then they are truly remarkable and can be classified as perfect, and I'm scared of them. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. That's James 3 and 2. If an individual is not careful, he might find himself to be a hypocrite in the eyes of God. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. James 3, 9, and 10. For an individual to say that they love God and praise his name, but yet turn around and curses his neighbor, makes him a hypocrite, because the word of God says that you are to love all things as he loves you. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desire to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and lips from speaking lies. I love how it just reminds us over and over again. If your intentions are genuine, there is no way that the Lord won't move on your behalf. He will never sit and watch his laws be broken. He will regard the prayers of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Psalms 102:17. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. the Lord commanded of his people not to lie. If you see that you need control or help in taming your tongue, seek him out. Ask God to help you. He will help you watch your mouth. But you have to ask him, and you have to put it into action as well. I know that's a process for me. One should not just pray and ask him for to deliver. They must also believe that he can do so, and it shall come to pass. Believe that thing. They must also believe that he is able to do all things. Now to him that is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. When you ask for his assistance, you have to be willing to listen so that he can tell you in what ways you have erred. Teach me and I will be quiet. Show me where I have been wrong, Job 6:24. In teaching his people the error of their ways, the Lord gives tests. In most cases, you're not made aware of it. Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. He does not do this to hurt us so that we can fail, but he does it to make sure that you are ready and able to make the right decisions. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The Bible warns us against talking too much or being overly talkative. In fact, the Bible says that a fool can be recognized by his many words. Ecclesiastes 5 and 3 and Ecclesiastes 10:14, it adds that a fool multiplies words. I'm laughing, y'all, because I'm having a laugh fit today. The wise person refuses to talk too much. Rather, he fears the Lord, listens to the Lord, and obeys the Lord. He follows the example of Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. When our mouths are full of our own words, we have little time or interest in God's words. Talking too much usually means listening too little. Just as the overly talkative person displays foolishness, the one who holds his tongue demonstrates knowledge and understanding. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit, Proverbs 17:27. We can't gain knowledge if we are constantly talking, but understanding comes from listening and using our words sparingly. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. That's James 1:19. Modern culture offers numerous avenues through which we can express ourselves verbally. Social media, blogs, cell phones, call-in radio, all enable us to keep up a constant stream of chatter. Overseer Martin shared how someone tried to put him on blast on Facebook this morning, bringing up who he used to be, bringing up his past. That is such a pet peeve of mine, too. Why do people love to rehearse your dirt? They can tell your past better than you, but have amnesia when it comes to their own raggedy mess. But how much of our own talking is truly edifying or important? Saying what needs to be said is important, but talking too much leads to saying what should not be said. We really need to learn to talk less about mess. God gave us one mouth and two ears so that we can listen more than we talk. We really do too much damage with words, even joking with LOLs on the end. Have you ever had someone come up to you to share something someone said about you? Perhaps it was a bad rumor they heard. Maybe you've been approached by someone at the office who said they received some troubling news about you and questioned your motives, or at church even. Did it frustrate you? Did you feel the need to defend yourself right at that moment? Now, what if the information the messenger brought to you was wrong, somewhat incorrect, or just a complete lie? How would you feel? Noting your frustration, the person then says, "Don't shoot me. I'm just a messenger." Well, recently, someone approached me to share some information they received about me. It was so incorrect and just downright wrong. I looked at the person who brought me this message. I said, "Well, when they told you that about me, what did you say or do about it?" And they said, "Nothing. I just came straight to you. I said then that it's the real problem." When people bring stuff to you, first of all, and this is just something I'm learning, everything does not have to be repeated. If you shut it down, that's how you shut rumors down, because it's not passed on to the person that it was said about, because that's just another way that the enemy loves to use us. So what does "I'm just a messenger" really mean? Does it suggest that they should be excused for spreading the wrong information about you? Perhaps they should be rewarded for bringing the information in the first place. My recommendation is shoot the messenger. Of course, I don't literally mean you should shoot the person, but I do mean you should challenge the individual for not vetting the information when they received it. When hearing information quite contrary to what you know about a friend, before you run and spread the message, even challenge the person who's given the information to stop doing it. Tell them, did you pray about it? So by the time the message reaches you, even if it gets to you, it has been certified. Sometimes we have to fact check. I like that. I learned that today. Imagine how many relationships and friendships were destroyed because of bad information. I bet some of us right now have some relationships that went south because of something that was said that wasn't factual or never was checked out, and so that friendship ended. Lies and misinformation are designed to tug on emotions. Once emotions are out of control, they can easily convert a lie into a truth, and that truth becomes a belief. And we all know how hard it is to change someone's belief, because once that lie sounds so good that you believe it. Restraining our lips is an indication of wisdom and humility. Talkative people often do not take the time between their many words to choose their words carefully. Christians should be aware that talking too much is detrimental to our witness in the world. As James reminds us, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. James 1:26. James later says that controlling the tongue is one of the hardest things to do, humanly speaking. In fact, no human being can tame the tongue. Fortunately, we have the Holy Spirit to help us with this task. So I like to read Psalms 141 and 3. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Sometimes I just say, Lord, zip my mouth. In the world today, most people are unaware of the severe damages that words have on others. Because of this, it has just become so natural for people to say what they have to say or, you know, won't say without caring or, you know, I'm telling you in truth and in love, without even caring about repercussions or consequences of their words. However, it can come to a stop if one is made aware of it and desires to make a genuine change of how we use our mouth. The Lord is willing to help because he knows the struggles that his children face. He knows it well. He knows about the death that lies in the tongue. Be sincere in your heart for the change you want to receive, and God will not shun you, but have mercy. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So when we really want to make that change and do better, because it's a process and none of us are perfect, and we all just try to do better than we did on the day before, and just try to do a little bit better with these words that come of our mouth, the Lord is ready, willing, and able. Are you? Welcome to Friday Night Live. That's my share for this evening. Did anyone else join the call?
Hi.
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Girlfriend. You made it, huh?
Hey. Y'all made it to the bus stop.
Well, I thank you
voice.
And my sister Erica for both assisting. I love y'all. Ain't nobody better than the Victor child.
It's Friday Night Live.
Hey.
We were dueling on who was supposed to be turning the things off.
Well, I appreciate the help because I was lost. You know, I'm so lost when you're not here greeting.
Well, everybody.
Who was that? I heard a man say Friday Night Live.
And you know it was me.
I would just call and say hello and see how things
are. Hey, Brother
going.
Adrian. Yep. Welcome to the Friday Night Live.
Oh,
y'all quiet
you,
tonight.
Baby.
Did everybody hang up?
Hey, Bubbly. Hey, Brother Adrian.
Hey, Lisa.
It'd be hard
to
get off
Adrian.
Wait, no, Lisa, especially if you sleep. Because I ain't playing. A couple of mornings this past week, I overslept one morning, and I'll never do that. And then I was, I tell on myself because I already told it was me. When Nisi said, whoever washing dishes, I was like, oop.
That was you.
It was the day my soul had called. Remember my soul had called? I was cleaning up the day after. I was still, you know, I was cleaning up the kitchen. It was me. I ain't going to even tell that. Yeah.
Oh, that was with that pot.
Well,
I told on myself.
That was Brother Jeff.
No, it was me busting stuff. I was washing them dishes.
Brother Jeff and
Bomb Quisha in the house.
What's up, Bomb Quisha?
What's up? Yep, yep,
yep. What's up, Smith Man?
Do we have any first-time callers if they didn't hang up? Because I know y'all probably were, I didn't call for this.
Might want to laugh.
Huh?
I said they might want to laugh.
Right, because laughter keeps you fine.
Hey, I'm trying to say it again.
Woo! Laughter keeps you fine, child.
Ooh,
laughter
yeah.
work is like a good medicine.
Oh, you're right. What you say?
Yeah.
Well, y'all, that was my what I had to share, but I was really talking to me, too, because, man, this mouth of mine, I flashed today, and I could tell on me because I corrected it, but it happened so fast. I was like, that was a quick spirit. Where'd he come from? Like, he jumped from behind a seat and grabbed me.
Hey, I got a
yeah,
rumor.
Oh,
you
no,
don't have what's the rumor? What's the rumor, Adrian?
Rumor is, declare victory is off the chain.
That ain't a rumor. That's the truth.
Honey, that's true. That's the truth.
I heard it, too. I heard it, too.
Did you hear it through the grapevine?
I think it.
That Victor Bills, did y'all hear that Victor Bills all crazy? And they need therapy?
Yeah. And they don't even take medicine, for real.
Oh, dang.
You know what? I'm going back on mute.
No, thank you, Bubbly, because I know you've had a rough couple of days at the job, so I want to publicly thank you for just being you, and I love you to life. You hear how I hit that? I've been practicing that.
You
yep,
still in the
he
city,
hit that.
Bubbly?
He hit that. Huh?
Y'all just changed buildings in the city. You still in the city?
My portion of the group will still be in the city. Then the other group went over to Oakland. And,
oh, wow. That would have been nice for you.
I'll be there.
That would have been nice.
It would have been, but you know what? As they keep telling us, they can't have two powerhouses in the same house.
Amen.
So one of us had to go one way and another had to go the other way. So we can keep our offices running successfully like they've been over the past 20-something years since we've been involved in it. So
okay.
I'm okay with it. I still got to go back in tomorrow, and I still have to go back in on Sunday. So Monday I'll be in the new office, and yeah.
All right.
Okay, so
right.
we expect a live broadcast from the new office.
Right.
Yes.
You know how to do
Facebook
that live, Facebook Live. I don't know. I was thinking
ooh,
about
you know
they been shooting
don't
people as they doing
do that.
What happened?
It's been like three or four people that's gotten shot. No, really. They've gotten, like, actually shot while they were doing their Facebook Live. I was like, that's crazy. I've seen two. I think one guy was
what?
In Chicago. Oh, yeah. This world is, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Wow,
so
that's crazy.
I don't want it to give, if anyone knew what was to the call, I think I said that already. See, Bubbly, I don't know what all you say.
If there
did anybody join? That's what I was supposed to say. Did anybody join after the call?
Yeah. Did we have any new callers this evening?
No, I did.
Yes, you said that. Yes, you did, sweetie. Another part is that any of our Victor Billions that joined the call after we got started would like to say, what's up? 99.9.
What's up?
What's up?
We already know
what's
I'm
that?
Here. We already know that
Bubbly.
Here.
You about to say Bubbly? Wait, hold on. Stop
yes,
a second,
I was.
Lisa. Did you hear her?
Huh?
She was getting ready to say y'all. She was gonna say herself. Like
it's here.
Oh, that's okay. It's been like this all week. Trust me. Yeah. It's
okay.
Been like
when
that.
Is when they passing out the meds?
we ain't taking
I'll get
no
line. Wait, I'm not gonna let that go by. I'll get in line behind you. Thank you. Back on mute.
I'm already in line. I'm waiting, you know.
But you see how quickly this turned, because I'm just telling y'all how we should watch our mouth. Look at y'all. Look at
right.
y'all right now.
Look at them. Look at them, Dee Dee. Look at them.
Right.
That's my boss.
Show out.
Ooh, see.
Wow, see,
see what you
has
did,
anybody
Brother
learned
Adrian?
How to tame their tongue? And be
honest. What I do.
That's what the medication is for.
Wait, what?
The medication.
Wait, see, that's... they took me off the meds. I'm
good.
Keep
you from having Tourette's.
For real. I am better. I am so much better. I used to be like, I used to really be intentional about thinking of stuff to say because I would want to cut you quick and I would want to kind of just shut you down.
Right.
And I realized that words are super powerful, and the more that you speak and use them, you can just really, like, just intimidate somebody to just shut up. So
right.
I kind of learned that in a way, so that kind of helped me to want to be quick with my tongue. So I learned the art of not even really listening, and I had to unlearn that. Because I was so busy trying to think about what I was going to say and how it was going to sound and all that stupid stuff. But really God checked me on that. So I am so much better. But now I still realize that it's every now and then it'll come up. Or if it still comes up in my head, thank God it's not necessarily always coming out of my mouth. But still coming up in my head is just as bad because then it makes me start thinking about stuff. You know what I mean? So it's still a way that we got to – I still have to deal with, you know, still taming it. And like you were saying today with me, I was dealing with ordering my books online. And I was just so frustrated because I had to talk to people overseas. And I had to remember that girl in the Philippines, she going home. She making – minimum wage, we outsource these jobs. It is not her fault that she don't understand the system and the process. And so I had to really just check myself. I was talking to the women last night a little bit about that and then had to do it again today. But today I said, can I speak to somebody in America? I didn't realize we could do that. They gave me somebody right in Georgia and meet this girl talking about the Lord and her kid at school and all kind of stuff and got my stuff done. So I just thank God. He checks us.
I like how you said that you checked yourself because we forget sometimes that I think because when we're in the moment, it's like it's our issue and that person, and we forget that they're people too and they're going through stuff. So that representative or the waitress or whomever, the bank teller, I mean, they got lives too, but we'll flash. You know what I mean? So I'm with you, Lisa. I'm not nowhere delivered from it, but I'm getting better, and I'm quickly convicted. Before, I wouldn't even care. Like you said, I hadn't already thought about what I was going to say.
Okay,
like,
look, I got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I got a question. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, once you get your mouth, for me, let me just ask the question. Once you get your mouth kind of under control, I need the Lord to help me with the looks.
Oh, wait, that's all. That's another podcast.
I
was going
to
say the same thing. You don't got to say it because it's in your face.
right. And so you know it's in your heart. You know it's in your heart. That's got to deal with. How about this? When I was talking to the people, guess what books I was ordering? My books were in seminary class. How to Stay a Christian and all this stuff.
Jesus, you were just all over the big conviction.
You got jokes. This guy just like,
Wow.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes you just gotta laugh and just like you said,
want to
say something, don't say it.
Check
or
yourself.
Just have that blank look. Because I tell you, I'm meeting so many people. Like you said, Lisa, you ended up talking to someone in the States, and you start talking about the Lord, and that happens so much. Standing in line at the grocery store, this older man, I'm starting to pay more attention when I'm in the grocery store to the elderly. You know what I mean? Because some of them are in the store and they're taking forever, and you know, not to get impatient with them and helping if I can. I helped this lady who was trying to bend way down to the bottom shelf, and I said, Lord Jesus, don't let her bend. Helping her and helping her put her stuff on the conveyor belt, and just, you know, being more compassionate, because I don't know if they're going home alone or if they're being abused.
Right.
There's a lot going on. But I noticed in the store starting to have conversations, and these people want to talk. They want to talk. This one man, he put his bag down, leaned up against the shelf. I was like, oh, Jesus. I'm like, okay.
I got to go.
Right, he's trying to have a whole conversation.
Right.
Some people are lonely. That's the truth, though, because as I was on the phone, I used to be operator, local and long distance. I've been a phone answerer for some years. And there were people that could, they talk. I mean, they want to talk. And they have no one to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes God will have you in the right place at the right time to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
One lady I talked to, she had lost her child. And the Lord had me talking to her and, you know, and consoling her and, you know, just giving her a word. And she said her own pastor hadn't even come by and talked to her about it. You know,
wow.
And she was like, why? And I said, because everybody doesn't know how to console or give you words of encouragement because they don't know how to really deal with death.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but, you know, God had you on my line. And we talked for, I know, about 3 hours.
Wow.
No,
wow.
2 hours. Two hours. Yes.
Right, that was his last job. That was his last day. No.
at a call center. Do you hear me? At a
center. That's why I said that, because they be monitoring those times that you on call. You ain't supposed to be helpful.
It was God, because
right.
they
God.
Never saw it.
Mm-hmm.
My stats never went
wow.
down on my sales. And I was
God.
Able to talk to her and console her. And after that, it was like, wow, everything was back to normal. I'm like, okay. And nobody saw this? I'm like, thank you, Lord.
Wow.
God muted that line.
Yeah.
Coverage, Jesus. Jesus, yes.
You know what I love about your story is that you didn't take the opportunity to tell her how bad her pastor was or
right.
how that's what church don't do and how he don't know what he's doing or he shouldn't
mm-hmm.
be pastor or whatever. You just simply said he didn't know. Some people don't
mm-hmm.
know. But you redirected it to, okay, the attention is back on God, gave you somebody that could talk to you.
Wow.
So the attention goes right back to God. Isn't that something? Instead
That's
of us
beautiful.
Saying, well, how could they not? And why?
Uh-huh.
Why
you
should come
to my church.
Right. Okay. Right. I love that. That's beautiful to me. That's beautiful.
Good stuff, Adrian. Again, Mr. Mm-hmm. Man of God, like you gave Overseer Martin that word about that sacrifice.
Mm.
Woo, God, okay. I had to come off of mute. I had to get off the call.
What's his horn in?
Yeah,
I did too. I had left a little early.
Oh, my God.
No,
when I tell y'all, he got,
like,
well, actually, it was in the Love, Life, and Victory portion when
yeah,
it just went to a whole other level.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to hear that.
Yeah.
It was starting to get good because I was getting off the BART. I was trying, and it was like,
oh, I thought,
y'all,
Brooklyn.
That's my life now. I'm on the BART now, so it's no more bus. It's straight BART. I mean, bus in local, but not getting to work. So it's like, yes. It's just a whole new life for me. Whole new location, whole new transit system. Oh no, day to day. Oh, Jesus. Okay, I'm sorry. No, because y'all don't really understand how me and Bart, we ain't cool at all. No, because the people, this is a different way of life with the people who ride the bus and the people who ride on Bart. It's like
Bart
roaches and ants.
Your friend.
Keep reminding me of that, bro.
So bus is better, huh?
For me, I mean,
sometimes
for transit going across the bay, it's absolutely better for me. I'm not talking about local because I, you know, it depends on what local bus you own,
uh-huh.
you know. But there is a bright spot to this, and I will say that. I mean, it's a whole bunch of bright spots, but this one for the BART, the new location where I am. I just come straight out of my building, go downstairs, and go right into the BART station. Oh, Jesus, I see.
Oh, that's
a
good
point. That's a good point. Okay, all right.
Okay. That's it.
Thank you
good.
For that. Does anyone have anything they want to share?
Oh, that was some good stuff, though, Dee Dee. I'm still on that, which she was talking
right,
about.
Right, because from
that,
the judge
that conversation.
The courtroom, that part right there, I said, look at God.
I heard that
part.
That was big, yeah. That,
right,
I heard that
that's
part.
Why I was
that
like,
was
see,
big.
You don't know
yeah.
who's watching you. Because he
mm-hmm.
said the judge was following him on Facebook or on social media with his
right.
sermons and his, you know, she said, you're a man of faith. And here you're in here trying to get divorced. Man, that was so good. I literally went out in my backyard.
Wow.
All of that.
Yes. Isn't that something?
Ain't that good? But see how God worked that thing out? He worked
yeah.
that thing out. Because the last time he was on the call, and he was like, I was like, well, praise your name, Jesus, because it's not my place to question or ask. I just trust God like that. Because when God put together, oh, Lord, let me go back on mute because y'all going to have me running. And I can't even run right now.
Well, I'm
girl, don't mind.
I have to say this because I even said it to my husband. I shared with him. I was like, it was amazing how your commitment, because when we made our vows to God, you have to really remember what you're saying, you know what I mean, and not just
mm-hmm.
think it's cute for the day and the wedding is fabulous and you're saying cute words. Mm-mm, that's
your joke. Is pretty.
Right,
mm-hmm.
exactly. Mm-hmm. You know,
and that's what makes the difference when you
mm-hmm.
say unto God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you that focus every day. You know what? Even though, you know, whatever the situation may be that you're going through, it's like, well, you know what, God? I made this vow to you.
To you.
I made commitment to you. And at the end of the day, no matter what's going on in this marriage, I know you got me. You got us, not me. You got us. You got nothing too big that you can't handle.
The big thing that he shared too is about ministry, and when he said he was so busy, caught up in his work and the church and the ministry, that he neglected his wife. And so that's
absolutely
big, because that happens a lot too. Some pastors, male or female, are so married to the church that they neglect home. So if you're leaving your home unattended, you know that the enemy don't need much, and that's how the affairs happen. And I mean, he was so raw with it. I was like, ugh. I was so impressed, because that to me it helps other people heal. It helps other people stay in a marriage that's really not that bad. Because some people leave because you broke the remote. I'm serious. Some stuff so petty. It's like, really, y'all got a divorce for that? Wow.
Well, but that was my favorite remote, though, Dee Dee, for real.
No, but what I did say, I did say that if it had been me and that judge with my first marriage, I would have just went to jail. I'd be like, you know what? You congrat this divorce. Sign it now.
Snuff them and cuff them, right?
You'll be like, okay, well, when I need to sign up for the next judge, because if you don't do it,
right,
somebody going to do it. Right here, moving and all.
I'm standing right here till you grant it.
That's the beauty of God. Yeah, that's the beauty of God.
You know, I share with Dee Dee something I put on Facebook for friends. They saw it. But if you think about relationships and friendships and even family, you make a commitment to them, and it's not a verbal commitment, but you make commitments. And we break them because people hurt us, because of the way they treat us or the way they've acted around us. And it's like, we break the commitment. You know, just because they act stupid doesn't mean that's what we're supposed to do. The word says, recompense no man evil for evil.
Right.
Do good to them that spitefully use you. So we are supposed to love them. And so the commandment we have from God is to love them. And so we have to love them, regardless of how they've done or what they've done. It's like our commitment is to God, but our commitment also is to them, is to love them. That's why I used to love that dinosaur movie, Gotta Love Me. That dinosaur had a point.
Cute.
You know, it's like, okay, you gotta love me. Regardless of whether I hit you in the head, I do the different things I do, you still gotta love me. And so I look at that and I said, you know, what he was saying is important, because we will burn bridges and take people to the altar and leave them in a burnt state instead of going, okay, Lord, what do you give me to bring to you in place of them?
Right.
And it's prayer. Prayer is the ram. Prayer is the ram that God has given us to take to the altar for the issues that we have with people, or the problems that we've had with the people that, you know, in our lives, our family or friends or relationship. Pray about that situation. That's the ram, because God will protect it. He will take care of it. He will change it. If it needs to be gone, it will be gone. But that's our ram.
But then even beyond the prayer, there's already some things that have been written out and prescripted that God told us to do. I mean, you said one of them was love, and that love is the unconditional kind of love. The wife should reverence, respect her husband. There's a whole lot of stuff we're not doing. That's why I say, as a single person, it is so, so imperative that I don't just say I do to anybody.
Amen.
Because right now, just in a relationship, I can walk away. Because I'm more committed to the covenant of marriage, not the commitment of marriage. There's a covenant that God has established, right? And covenants aren't broken. Commitments are broken, but not covenants.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm like, almost 50, and if this is it, okay, God, but I believe for more, yes. But I know I ain't willing to just hand over nothing where I can't just be like, this ain't working, because that ain't their option then. But right now,
you better preach, Lisa.
I got on
tennis
shoes.
I'm what you said, the covenant and the commitment, y'all. We'll see.
That's good.
Amen. That's real good.
But you're right when you say you're not just going to say I do. And it's a lot, too. We were just talking about that today, all these people that's so gung-ho about a wedding. But it's not. It's okay. You better get that out your head, because the wedding is cute. That's a beautiful
thing for the day.
The ceremony is over like that. I think about that. You make all this preparation for that one day, and it's over because it's so beautiful. It's like, wait a minute. So it's more to it than the cute stuff. The marriage
then
is
the bill
work.
Come in. Then the bill come in, right?
Girl, I had the biggest and the best wedding I thought I could possibly have. And I said, I'm going back on mute.
My first one was, too, ice sculpture and carousel. Girl, that's
nasty. Girl,
I told you about that nasty cake before my declaration.
I feel cheated.
It didn't mean nothing. Mm-mm.
I feel cheated.
Huh? You feel cheated? Why you feel cheated? You didn't have a big wedding?
Wait a minute. What did you just say? Wait.
Oh, you went to the courthouse? By the pastor's office.
That's where I'm going.
You're
going
to vestibule of the church.
I'm coming to DJ's backyard, but that's stuff.
Come on, girl. Let the raccoons not jump out the tree. You going
to be like, that's a sign. That's a...
But I'm going to take a picture. We do. No, honestly, bubbly. It's an arch. It's an arch because when the storm knocked the trees down, it made its own natural arch. I'm going to take a picture and post it because we keep saying that's where we're going to renew our vows. But it's too creepy back there for me. Mm-mm. I don't want nothing snatching me in the woods.
I'm with you, bubbly. Then we're going.
Then you'll be right there, and then you can be come on right on out the house, go and sing your A and B selection, and keep it moving.
And go on back in.
I'm gonna tell you how to take care of the raccoon.
I'm not shooting with no BB gun.
You ain't got them do that.
Raccoons are rowdy in your hood. I'm not messing with no raccoons. When they get outside, I come in the house.
Listen.
Okay, they're from Richmond. Okay.
Go to the store.
Mm-hmm.
Go buy some Snickers bars. Unwrap those Snickers bars and throw them out there.
You
I
playing.
Promise you, they will eat those Snickers
really
bars
playing.
And watch you. No, I'm serious. They will eat that Snickers bar and watch you as you have your ceremony.
And then they're going to be knocking on the door looking for some more.
Okay, see.
Okay,
Well, Adrian is crazy because he knows these raccoons. I live in Richmond. You know everything from Richmond is crazy. These raccoons is real Richmond. I'm not fooling with them.
I didn't say they would come back for more.
I believe you because these squirrels out here, they're running stuff. Okay, so I understand all these little criticisms.
They're not even scared of people no more.
From
they
set. No. You mean from the set? That's what I call them. They're not neighborhood. They're from the set.
I had some raccoons in Boston where I lived, and I was in the hood for real. And I called, I had to call like an animal, you know, the people to come and get them because they had
animal,
taken up residency.
Animal control,
and,
honey.
Yeah,
they
animal
control.
No, it wasn't even animal control because they had taken up residency in my roof. So I called animal
control.
And the city was like, we're not coming out. You got to hire a private company. So I called the private company to come out, and, you know, we were telling them that the raccoons be walking on the electric wires. And the lady was like, no, that's not what raccoons do. You must have it mistaken. That's not a raccoon. I was like, lady, it's a raccoon. And then she seen it walking across the wire. She was like, in my 30-something years, I have never seen this. And I said, well, honey, we're in the hood. These raccoons do things very different out here than they do out in the suburbs. You better get your life and come get these raccoons up out my house.
Y'all need to help my mind because my mind went all the way to the left. Y'all start praying for me now. Let them just go and walk across one of them wires and let them.
That's what I was thinking of, bub. I was thinking that too. While they get electrocuted as they walk across them wires.
Nope. Sure
did. A fried raccoon.
I think the same way. Ooh. And you know there's other folks that eat a fried raccoon. Don't get me started.
They're smart. Don't get it twisted. They're very smart.
Yeah.
And they're deadly. Don't let them be like, they bite you when you.
They'll tear you up.
Man, them things had ripped up my
only
roof
if you
so bad.
Them. Only if you threaten them or corner them.
No, Adrian, I'm not trying to disagree with you, but I don't know where you've seen some raccoons, but these raccoons over here, they'll jump you.
They'll sit on their hind legs, be ready to bite you and stuff.
They're in a gang. They'll take your car. They'll take your car and go to Starbucks and get you some coffee. These raccoons from Richmond is crazy.
Don't have no sense. I heard one say, hey, no, for real, I did. I heard one say, hey, yo, Blood, check it out. She in the black car today.
She's trying to hide.
You know they good. You know how sick they are. They got masks on. You already know.
Okay, you know how they look. So you can't pick them out of a lineup.
That's why that's my girl. She gets me.
Well, if that's the thing, they got on their stripes too.
Right.
They've been in prison before.
Well, how come they not the prison mascot? Huh?
Laughing, it's crazy. The ones that start hanging up, they're like, they silly, I gotta go.
All right. Because the real victims are still here. Yeah,
it's Friday. Meshack, you need to move before I throw you off out them raccoons. You up under here trying to get on the call. You got something to say?
No, you got him scared. You started talking about the raccoons. He was like, wait.
Right.
No, but okay. I think y'all heard me say, my stove caught on fire on Tuesday. Was that Tuesday?
Ma'am.
Yeah. And so Meshack wouldn't run out the house because he was like, get everybody out the house. Huh. He wouldn't leave. So I was going to have a burnt up dog because he had to get out. So not only
you
he
left him in there.
What I was going to do, I love him, but was I going to stay in here and
some people
the fireman said that he was probably still trying to protect the house. But you can't use no fire extinguisher.
That's all.
Huh?
You know what? He did not just say that.
You can't pee on no fire either.
Right. Because, sometimes he forget. He will squat, raise his leg, be frozen. But it was funny. So the fireman, one of the firefighters was Filipino. And as he was leaving, I said, since he don't want to listen, you can just take him with you. He said, you're not supposed to ask my Filipino to take a dog. And he started cracking up. I was like, wow.
I ain't gonna eat your dog.
Yeah. See, everybody got a sense of humor. And he was cracking up getting on that truck. But I will tell y'all that I was outside looking like Miss Seeley from Color Purple. Because, I had my braids plaited down, and I had on, okay, Adrian, plug your ears. But sisters, no, you take your bra off when you get home.
That's like the first thing that you take off.
Right, but I was praying.
Ain't nobody got that. Ain't nobody got no time for that.
Wait a minute. You ever see that post talking about, when the sister didn't took off her bra, the whole night is over. Show's over.
But I know them firemen are like, oh, my God, she looks a hot mess. I'm so worried about
her. Hey, ain't nobody got no time for that.
Ain't got none now. So what happened?
I look worse than her.
What happened?
They said there was an electrical fire within the cord of the stove, the oven. It's a Kenmore. Wasn't that old. So like a malfunction. But
you should file then.
Well, let me tell you, I'm glad to be here, really, because even the fireman said they, and I thought about Tanya, the fire didn't burn us, because I had my little baby Kayla was here and my 21-year-old, so she's taking the baby out, and I'm trying to get crazy Meshack and Maki, my grandpuppy, to run outside. Maki runs back in his kennel, so he's just crazy anyway. And Meshack's standing in the middle of the den looking at me like, what do I do? But it burns the stove up, like the cabinets around it. Didn't
right.
touch him. And that right there, I'm
wow.
serious. It's
only God.
Hmm.
Only God.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a testimony right there.
Yeah.
Yes, Lisa, that's what the fireman said. He even told me, he said, man, we've seen fires less than this, and he just said, you blessed. He told us.
Yeah.
Wow. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So, Phoebe, now that you got this new stove, let me know you took it
don't
for
play
a declare victory, right?
But I'm traumatized.
Oh, yeah.
I'm traumatized.
Why?
Because I'm going to play that traumatized role. Maddie, I can't cook. Every time I go near the stove, I hear a popping sound. I've been rehearsing. Yeah, you cook. Oh, no, I can't. Oh, Jesus. I'm having nightmares of stoves. The stove is chasing me in my sleep.
The stove was on wheels. It was coming.
They got medication for that.
They
have medication.
Uh-uh. I gotta be diagnosed for a while. You know how sometimes you gotta be diagnosed. Now I gotta watch what
right.
I say too. But I do want. Can
right,
I just use
for
it
real.
For a little bit? Man.
Nah, you better not.
I did this declaration on words. I'm about to lie to my husband about being traumatized.
You might just want to go ahead and do a declaration about it anyway.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
I got a slide, but I just want to say love you. Thank you for the word tonight. I have a lot to think about. I have to keep my mouth zipped. I have to do a better job at it, at least, anyway. But thank you so much. Love you, and I'll catch you up
with
you
later.
Love
you, too, and make sure you win the next water fight with your husband. I thought that was so cute.
We love you, too. We don't know you, but we love you. Bye.
Bye.
Love you guys.
Have a blessed
one.
Good
night. Bye.
Love you, too.
Well, you know what, guys? That's a good cue, because who I get a Adrian. It's Men's Day. You can pray us out. Mike, don't bark. If you can, if everybody's clear, I'm sorry. Does anybody else want to share anything? Yay, nay.
Dang, it got quiet.
Huh?
Is anyone still on the line?
I don't know, but we'll keep them praying. We had a good time.
We're still here.
Watch our mouths, and I can be traumatized over this stove.
I'm here.
Bubba, let me take a picture of your arch.
Huh?
I want to see it.
You don't have to take a picture of her arch for her wedding.
Katie.
Uh-huh.
Wait, if you don't want your wedding,
you don't have to use your words. You don't have to lie. Just when he say, ask you what you going to cook, just start twitching.
That way you ain't got to say nothing.
Start itching, too. Yeah.
Just
start
twitching.
Good.
When you in the kitchen, just, you know, start moving your head to the side a little bit.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to do it.
And you don't have to say anything.
I'm going to do that. That's a good one.
Right?
Not Lisa. Lisa, you listen to these. Lisa, I'll give her a chance. We listen to these married women and what they're telling us what to do now. I'm listening to that.
Right. Lie without your words. I'm
going to just have a tick. Cooking. What's that? Start coughing. Cooking.
Wait a minute.
I got it.
Woo! No, look, it's all right. You know what? Look, I know what I ain't going to do it. What I'm going to do? If I don't feel
that's
like cooking,
like shopping and putting the grocery bags in the trunk. For a few days.
Yeah, that's played out, though. I don't have time now. I'll be like, I forget it's in there.
Take it out the box and I'll put it in the closet.
He going to Trump. What's this? You didn't buy that?
Hey, it's a guy on the phone. We can't be doing all that kind of stuff.
All right. We don't do that. Y'all.
Look, he can't
do all got to do is reverse psychology. He'll think he bought it. Remember you bought that? Oh, I did. Uh-huh.
You was going to buy it.
And look, and depending on how their memory works, they make things in there anyway.
No, I didn't have it like that, okay?
I'll be like, thank you, baby.
Y'all are officially cuckoo. I just want to just tell you that.
Absolutely love it. Y'all just don't know how I'm ooh. This really made the end of my work week technically the best.
Oh,
I'm telling
I'm glad.
You.
Yay.
Yay.
Woo, woo, babe.
Thank you.
You love it
to
a whole lot.
Love you a lot, too. Oh, Jesus. See, I almost went somewhere else.
So, Bubbly, won't you pray since you didn't greet?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Did I hear somebody up on the TV? I'm like, yeah, what you did you in Eddie Murphy movie? No. This ain't strange places. Yeah, whatever. Okay.
Yeah, people dropping off left and right.
I know, right? That's okay. Because you know what? They got what they need and they're gone. Let me look at the board. Now y'all got me curious.
Anything but chicken wing.
Oh, man. Oh!
Don't be curious. That's what happened to Eve.
No, I'm not, girl, please. Look, I got it. Look, Lisa, step up, because I got it too quick, and I got lightheaded and had to sit back down and you guys right there. Oh, you're supposed to be praying. Sit down. Those who want to be on here, those who are on here are still here for a reason. All minds clear?
No, but pray anyway.
Who ain't clear?
No, I'm just saying. Y'all crazy. I say that in love, but everybody on here cuckoo.
I'm saying.
They just gonna continue on goofy ball, but that's a good thing. That's a good diagnosis. To have a good regulation.
That's the best way to be. I don't care nobody say. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. All right.
You know, there was a study, real quick. There was a study, I just saw it at work, and they have it on our federal health system, about a few nuns. And they interviewed a whole bunch of nuns back in 1977. I think you can actually Google it. And they were talking about those who talked about their lives when they went into the convent as they were 17 and 18 years old. And they had them write down something. And those that wrote from a perspective of being positive and saying how, you know, they loved God and they were looking forward to this, you know, and all this stuff with expectation and hope, those ones, opposed to the ones who had written down, like, this is more like a job and not necessarily a calling, but they were kind of begrudged about whatever it was. They just weren't very positive. Those ones died off a lot. It was like 89%, something crazy, how the ones that had written before that were positive and excited and looking forward to what God was going to do, they lived like into their 90s, y'all.
Mm. Oh, I got 30 more years, Jesus.
I know our days are numbered, but really our perception will definitely do something to the inside of us. If the word of God can cut us and change us and mend us at the same time and go so deep where it's able to even save souls and it reaches to the bones and to the marrow and all that stuff, looking at how important and necessary that is, and when he talks about laughter, man, there's something deep to that, and I think we missed it. And so becoming bitter and angry and living in unforgiveness, I'm talking to myself, you know, having to remind me. I thank God for declare victory. I thank God for people around me who just like to laugh, and I have some other friends that just like to laugh about nothing, you know, just want to laugh and enjoy life. So I love
that. That's when you know it's good, when you're just laughing about nothing.
Anyway,
that's my thing.
We just crack up by yourself.
Testimony.
I had to stop taking myself so seriously, right?
I'm waiting for laughter to hit the group, because there's times when God will hit you with laughter, and sometimes you'll be in some places you'll be like, this is really not the place to laugh, but he'll have you laughing.
Like, is that such a place?
Yes. I was in church, this church I was at, they didn't laugh. You know, it was like they clapped like God was dead. And so I was sitting there, and the pastor was already had an attitude with me. And the Lord hit me with laughter, and I started laughing. I'm like, oh, my God, you're going to have me kicked out of my
It's contagious.
Out of the church.
It is. That and a smile. Because every time I smile, I always get one back. Every single time. Yeah, every single time.
So we're going to watch our words. Thank you, Miss Dee Dee.
Oh, my Lord. Girl, I'm going to be so cautious tomorrow. I know I ain't cussing that one time tomorrow. No.
She said tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm going to have to be underneath the altar clock. Oh, never mind. Let me hush. I'll pray for me. That's all I got to say.
Keep me lifted up
off of my mouth. I was like, who is this person? You know, when you start talking so much stuff, you forget who's coming. That ain't you. Come on. Yeah.
One thing that really helped me was that God told me, and he told all of us, we're going to have to give an account for every idle word that comes out of our mouth.
Oh, dang. Lisa,
every single one. I'm sorry, but he did. That helped me.
I know. It's true.
Yeah, that's so much true right there.
Yeah, but I felt like I just got persecuted, right?
But you know something else though. Well, but Lisa, you have to remind yourself that we sometimes forget that most people think it's the cussing at people, but that's not it. It's speaking death over people.
No.
It's tearing them down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the little four-letter word.
Every idle word, yes. Even the stuff in joking, you know.
Right.
So that yeah.
The LOL and not the, you know, I'm going to say it in love.
You.
No,
yes.
You're not. That ain't in love, though. The Lord told me to tell you.
I don't ever start my conversation with that. Never. I'm not going to sit there and lie on the Lord. No, I'm not going to do it.
But you might be a prophet in the making, so one day you might. something.
Well, you
like
know what? That be it. But like I said, I'm not gonna go and tell everybody what the Lord told me.
Or how about when you have somebody have you prayed? Pray for me for Mr. Johnson to be my husband. Mr. Johnson married to Mrs. Johnson. I ain't praying.
Girl, stop.
Okay.
People say some crazy stuff.
Girl, no, that's one of them for real. Girl,
I don't think people said that no more. That used to be way back.
No,
right?
that's still happening.
You have people that say, pray for me that I get this or pray for me that I get that. And it's like, I don't know if that's God's will for you. So I pray something that make you take your eyes off God. Or make you start walking differently once you get it. How do I know that that's what God wants? So I have to pray God's will in your life. I can't just pray what you want me to pray. I can pray healing for you and I can pray, but I can't pray for you to have something that you want and expect that's what you're supposed to get, because I don't know if that's what God has for you. Maybe God has something else for you that's better. So I have to pray God's will in that case. I can't pray for these things for you.
That gave me a visual. Yeah, absolutely. You're agreeing and touching with someone, and they're, like you said, could be praying for somebody else's husband or praying for that person to die so they can get that husband.
That's what Miss D was telling me the other day, being careful about people saying, ooh, can you pray for me? And don't give you no logistics? What you mean pray for you? Like, just like, you know, that's what that came to my mind. What do you want, you know?
So that's when you, Brother Adrian said, you pray God's will for that situation because you don't
know.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And if they don't tell you what it is, we know that there are certain things. Okay, God, pray for a closer walk. God, pray for, you know, a steadfast heart. God, pray for commitment. God, pray that we're sold out. Pray that you got some stuff to pray for.
Okay. Well, I just, amen. And speaking of prayer, are we ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Nobody hit you.
Bless the Lord.
Yeah, I'm like an old person with nobody to talk to right now. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. You can call me up. You can talk, girl. I thought I was going to have to work late night tonight. I was like, dang, you know, I was telling my girlfriend at work. I was like, okay, you know, I think people don't think I love them no more because all I do when I come home is get in the bed and go to sleep because I'd be, you know, that exhausted. It's like, you know, I have things I need to share with folks that I haven't had the opportunity. So tonight, it starts tonight.
I'm home in 5 minutes, but you can call me.
Okay, yeah, I know it's about 7. It's almost time. It's 7:30. Getting close to 7:30. That's eating time for you. I know. I ain't gonna mess with you.
Is it after 7?
No, it's 7:10.
Oh, okay.
7:11 on me.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I mean it doesn't matter. I'll call you. Trust me.
Okay.
If I haven't called you by 9, then I ain't calling.
Girl, don't call me after 9. I'm gonna be asleep.
That's what I'm saying.
If I haven't called you, she ain't gonna call you.
Okay, all right.
You know what? I just love you too, brother. Anyway, Father God, we come before you, Lord God,
you,
with hearts of thanksgiving. God, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. God, we thank you, Lord God, for Dee Dee, who just blesses us each and every Friday, Lord God. Continue to just build her up, Lord God. Bless her and pour back into her for all that she does for us on Friday Night Lives and through the week, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for each and every victor, Lord God, for who called in tonight, Lord God. I hope that something was said that blessed their lives, Lord God. And if nothing else, just gave them a moment of peace and calmness and a little time to laugh. Because your word says there's a time for everything, Lord God. We thank you for everything, Lord God. Good times, bad times. We thank you, Lord God, for your word of commitment. Thank you, Jesus, for that word, Lord God, starting from this morning on down to this evening, Lord God. Help us to remember and be mindful of those two words, commitment and covenant, that they are two different things, but they start with the letter C. Lord, we thank you for all that you are to us. We thank you for all that you do, Lord God. We just thank you for who you are, Lord God. Bless us, oh God, as we go through the rest of our evening, Lord God. Bless us as only we can, Lord God. We thank you in advance of what you're going to do, Lord God. Give us a sweet, sweet sleep tonight, Lord God, and bless us as we go through the rest of our evening. And we will be careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor, and it's all due to you. It is in Jesus' name I pray and give you thanks. And the people of God said,
Amen. Love y'all. Amen. Have a good night.
Love.
Thank you, Lisa, for being on. Love you guys.
Y'all come back.
Bye.
Good luck.
Tomorrow, Martin.
Y'all come back now, you hear?